Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, a podcast where two best friends ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of this podcast, comedy writer, author of books, man of the sea, and guy who was once broken up with by a Bumble date because she said I was, quote, not romantic, end quote, Daniel O'Brien. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say good afternoon.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad. I'm the writer of lunchbox letters for my son, Western revenge poems I occasionally do, though I haven't in a while. It's just the ghost of the cowboy stuff speaking through me. As a preteen, I also wrote a letter to Ariana Richardson from Jurassic Park. I don't know if you remember her. She's the little girl in that. Inviting her to come to my hometown
Lex?
And see me play baseball. Yeah.
Lex from Angus?
And from Tremors, and she was in another movie called Spaced Invaders. I had a big crush on Ariana Richardson when I was young, and I invited her to come to my hometown and watch me play baseball.
That... How old were you?
I think I was 12, maybe 11.
I love that so much. I love that instinct you have. And it's like, well, I'm not just going to say... Come hang out. I gotta add value. Watch me play baseball.
I thought for sure, like, she's like, nobody has invited me to play baseball. Because in my mind, it was every kid was Macaulay Culkin who had been in a movie. So it's like, they were so, they'd been living in their tower for so long that they just longed to get back out in the streets. And they're like, and she would have been like, oh, baseball, that's so authentic. In a small town, sign me up.
I recently, this is similar but less excusable because I'm 34 years old. I Instagram DM'd a woman that I follow on YouTube fishing.
Oh,
and,
God.
Invited her, if she, not invited her, but let her know if she's ever in New York that I would take her fishing for bluefish. It's not a good food to eat, but they're like really fun to fight, and I would get us a like a private boat and take her fishing in the Hudson.
That's such a dit. You did that. You know what it's like to get those.
I did that 48 hours ago.
You've gotten maybe like I would say like 30 of those exact types of invitations in your life. Maybe not fishing, but like other things that people think you like. They're like people who are like, hey, Spider-Man's premiering. I was just wondering if you ever wanted to stop by Akron, Ohio and come see it with me.
I don't know what else to do. I really like her channel. I think she's like bafflingly gorgeous and she seems nice. And I don't know what else to offer other than a polite invitation to come fishing with no strings attached.
And that Bumble date said you weren't romantic. Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. Hello Tushy is a sleek bidet attachment that clips onto your toilet and sprays your butt clean with fresh water. And it's the best thing you can do for your butt, and it starts at just $79. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ. Get 10% off your order.
Thank you so much to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. Explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity. For a limited time, get a free trial of Skillshare premium membership at skillshare.com/QQ2. Anyway, we're going to get into the show. We normally do... a quarantine check-in at the top of the episode, but I really want to get into our guest because I don't know if you can tell in my voice how excited I am, but we are joined by writer, comedian, performer, and previously the third head in the Soren Daniel Hydra thing, Maggie Mayfish.
Oh, Maggie!
Ah, Soren! Oh, my goodness!
Oh, it's been so long. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I was snickering off mic through the whole intro. You guys are such losers.
I do. So, Maggie, I saw today that you were a jock when you were younger.
I had my moments. I feel like we've been over this.
Hold on. Before, just in case our listeners are foolish and don't know, Maggie used to co-host a show we did on Cracked for a couple of years called... Excessive what? Pop culture discussion? Mm.
Yes.
Was that what you landed on eventually? Because
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think we went through a couple phases.
It was a show that, by design, was supposed to have a rotating cast of three people. And then we realized pretty quickly we just wanted the three of us to sit and talk to each other for an hour every week.
And so we scheduled it in.
Yes. And now we're finally all back together again for the big reunion.
Daniel was very cagey about who this guest was going to be. Didn't tell me. Wanted to get on and set it all up before I was even allowed to join the call. And this is such a treat, Maggie.
Aw, it's so good to hear your voice.
But now we can get back into the episode, which is about Maggie being a jock, Soren.
Yeah, so I saw on Twitter she posted something about... So what happened recently in the news was... Landon Donovan's team, whatever team he's coaching, I don't know. They did a walk-off, and they like lost their playoff spot. Like they ended up, and they did a walk-off because one of the guys on the other team used a homophobic epithet.
Homophobic
epithet, and the team was like, "We're not playing against you," and they all did a walk-off, and like sack, and they forfeited the game. They were up like 5-0, and they forfeited the game.
Oh, someone said a slur and then the opposing team walked off?
Yes.
Off? Yeah. Jesus Christ, guys, I'm from New Jersey.
Walked off? Walked off?
Walked off?
Well, did they get some water in them at least?
Those guys walked off? What are you even talking about right now?
Yeah, and slurs are part of the game.
And Maggie posted that as a former jock, I think, or something to that effect, I wholly and heavily support this. And I was like, hold the phone. I remember hearing something about her being a swimmer when I was young. Well, when she was young. But I don't remember any jock stories.
I was a three sport varsity athlete when I graduated high school. I was not good at basketball, but my heart was in it. Mm-hmm. I loved the bench. I loved cheering. But I was good at soccer. I was a All-State my senior year. I played defense. So,
really, how did this slip past me? I feel like I can spot him.
I think mostly I bonded with Daniel over being in band, and I think my overall vibe was that of a nerd. So I don't think it translated into actual jock culture, but if we're going by technicalities, I would call myself a former jock.
Yeah, you gotta play to the brand.
Because your brand is very like decisively nerd friendly. Did you
beat anyone up?
No. Was that ever a conversation that you had to have with yourself where you're like, I'm not going to mention my sports past? Like when you just started making YouTube videos, when you started coming up in comedy, where you're just like, I'm gonna steer into this skid.
Yeah, I'm not going to let anyone know that I could body them if they took me on. I was only ever very good at soccer. So, you know, I felt like as far as the culture went, I was never fully connected to the jock lifestyle. I have a very distinct memory of my senior year. I was both the lead in the play and on the basketball team. And we practiced on the same court. And I had to split my time evenly. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't want to dance blame here, but in theater, we do not call it a court.
In my school is very underfunded, so it was very technically a court.
You have turned the tables on me.
That is the other thing. It was a very small school, so I was almost in sports out of necessity rather than choice.
I will tell you, Maggie, that I had to not play in our last game before the end of the season, soccer in high school, because I had a dress rehearsal for the pajama game that night.
Oh, my God! That's adorable. I love the pajama game. Doris Day movie? Oh.
Did you,
I also love Tremors. You said that earlier.
Yes.
I love Tremors. I think I like the sequel to Tremors more. Tremors 2 Aftershocks. I think I like that more than the first one. If I'm being
just because
totally
you like saying it?
Yes. And it was also, I don't think they mentioned in the first movie, because the first movie, it's just Tremors, if you guys haven't seen it, there's just like giant worm monsters in the ground that try to eat our protagonists in the desert, and Kevin Bacon saves the day by, I want to say, pole vaulting.
Yeah,
they do that. Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. They all do it.
And we don't. It's the same way that for a while I thought, like, oh, the shark in Jaws. That's Jaws. Everyone get away from Jaws. I thought these monsters were called Tremors. Mm. And like, gotta make sure you pole vault over those Tremors. And then in Tremors 2, Aftershocks, Kevin Bacon has left. He is no longer part of this franchise. And we learn that the monsters are called Graboids. And that was so funny to me as a kid, finding out that, like, look out, it's a Graboid!
Maybe this is like a zombie situation where they're like, you can't call them zombies in the movie. You gotta come up with stenches and things like that.
Hey, listeners, do you have a butthole? Then this ad is for you. You use water to clean your body, right? Time to do that to your butt, which is, in a lot of ways, also your body. Introducing the latest in butt cleaning technology, water. Get with the program and clean your butthole with a bidet. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off. Hey, Soren, why don't you talk about buttholes?
My pleasure. I could talk about buttholes as far as the day is long. It's hard to believe that when we go to the bathroom in this country, that we're wrapping up some paper and then just like scraping it on our butts like we're trying to scrape mud out of a fishing net.
That's so
silly.
Weird. It's all I think about.
For years, bidets have been available, but they're hideously expensive normally. They can cost thousands of dollars if you want to install one in your house. But not anymore. The Hello Tushy Modern Bidet Attachment is here to democratize the blessings bestowed upon bidets and offer clean buttholes to everyone. You just install it on your toilet, you plug it into your water supply, and it's that easy. You don't have to have somebody come out. You don't have to have a plumber do it. You do it yourself. It attaches to your existing toilet. That requires no electricity or additional plumbing, and it cuts toilet paper use down by 80%. More so if you just decide, I'm not doing toilet paper anymore. This is going to be it for me. I'm a bidet man. Because with Hello Tushy, you don't have to wipe at all. I mean, even the best two-ply just can't cut it when it comes to a hands-free poop experience. You know what I do now, Dan? Don't even wash my hands when I leave the bathroom. What do you think of that?
I think you probably should.
No, I'm not doing it. Because the only thing I'm touching are obviously the seat, the toilet seat that I sit on, my pants, the inside of my pants that have been against my butt the whole time. I'm rethinking this whole thing right now.
Yeah.
Ditch paper products and uncomfortable chafing when you switch to the soothing cleansing stream of water from Hello Tushy Bidet Attachment.
Oh, it's, quick question. What's soothing about it?
I will say that it's refreshing. It's a little bit, it gives you a little bit of a jump start.
You said it was soothing, so like, speak on that.
Okay, well,
I get stressed very often, so I'm always looking for something that will soothe me.
Okay.
So explain how this is soothing.
There are those days where you have a emanation, and afterwards you start feeling like, that one left me hurting a little bit. I don't know why. Wouldn't it be nice to just give a little bubble bath to that part of your body right after a hard work in the morning?
Wow. All right. Well, I'm sold.
That's what you're getting. And every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. You can send these back. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that how you used it.
So if this thing that I put on my toilet washes my butthole for 60 days and I'm unhappy, I can just put it in the mail and give it to someone?
Give it right back.
Wow.
Join millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now and have a clean butt with every flush. That's how much they trust their product.
It's very fun to joke about buttholes and whatnot, and I like how cheeky Hello Tushy lets us get with this ad copy. But genuinely, 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 I really do enjoy using Hello Tushy. It was a product that I was kind of on the fence about for a while because I come from a non-bidet family. And then as soon as it was installed by me, because it was very easy to install, and the first time I used it, I was like, oh, I know what everyone is getting for Christmas this year in my family, because it's a really great product. I wouldn't say I look forward to pooping with my Hello Tushy, but it does make things more pleasant. Wiping is gross and not my favorite thing to do in the world, but...
I agree with you, Dan. I mean, would you clean dirty, crusty dishes with dry paper? It makes no sense. What if a bird pooped on you? Then cleaning dishes would be even crazier. There'd be no reason for you to be cleaning them. You're the one who's dirty. Toilet paper and wet wipes are ruining the environment. And the average person uses 57 sheets of toilet paper a day. They do it in private and they think they can get away with it. But we know. We know how many little perforated squares those people are using. We've got cameras, Dan.
You said they do it in private. Would you rather they did it in public?
No, but I want them to know that what they do in private doesn't mean that they just get to indulge and ruin the planet. Just because other people aren't going to be there to shame you for it. You got to take care of the planet. Okay. And you're going to do that with Tushy. And also, you might be thinking, well, what about all the water I'm wasting with my Tushy? You're not wasting water. Every TP roll requires 37 gallons of water to be made. A bidet only uses an average of a pint of water. 37 gallons of water. I have it on good authority. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off. This is a special offer to our listeners to go to hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off. hellotushy.com/QQ.
I want to talk about high school a little bit more. This is a thing I think about a lot, Maggie. Did you feel confident when you were in high school?
Not until my last 2 years of high school. It less confident and more like, oh, actually, I don't think any of this matters kind of a thing, which in itself is a type of invincibility, yeah. I would say, in high school. But before that, oh, just no. I had zero self-confidence. I basically built from the ground up after middle school.
Yeah.
Not to get too personal here, Maggie.
Oh, no, please.
Was some of that a result of... that you are a young girl with a tremendous amount of body hair.
You know what, Soren? I would probably say that was a large factor. And to build off of it, my face, you know, I have a very Irish heavy background. So my face would flush bright tomato red whenever anyone looked at me in the eyes. Which, you know, is just always deeply embarrassing. And that was connected to sweating, which, you know, is connected to the body hair. So yeah, it's a whole ecosystem that just slowly tears down your self-esteem until your mother hands you a razor, you know, in eighth grade and then full steam ahead.
I knew that we would at some point get into what a tremendously hairy child Maggie was. This is earlier than I thought.
I'll never shy away from what is the truth of the matter.
That's why I ask about your confidence, because one of the things that we learned about you doing this show, the three of us, EPCD, mm-hmm. for a while, because mm-hmm. we weren't like friendly before then. Is that fair to
right.
say? Yeah.
Oh, fair. Colleagues.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't know you too well, and I just knew like this person is tremendously charming and very good on camera, mm-hmm. and has a deep well of pop culture knowledge to pull from. Mm. And the thing that we learned on the show that ended up giving me tremendous amount of joy was this sort of endless stream of bizarre Maggie facts, which we are still, based on this podcast, learning to this very day.
Still uncovering.
Glue, too. They just sort of stick with you.
Yeah. And one of them was about you being like a super hairy child. And you wear it all so well. You own it with such grace and humor.
Aww,
that I feel
thank
like
you.
Like this person must have always been comfortable in their own skin.
And truly,
their own,
you know,
hairy,
my
sweaty,
own hairy,
red skin,
thick skin. Yeah, you know, I have a wonderful little book full of photos of me from grades 1 through 5, and I will send it to you one day.
What are you talking about? Like a photo album that's just about you?
Yes, yeah, me and my other best friend who also had vampire fangs, and we were best friends because no one wanted Wolf to hang out with
Wolfman and
us.
The vampire.
Precisely. So, I will send that to you. You know what? I'll send it to you for Halloween. That will be your Halloween gift.
Oh, thank you. I always look forward every year for what my Halloween gifts are going to be. So this photo album is going to go right on the mantle.
Mm. Oh, can't wait.
I don't know.
It's always so nice to like be with somebody who's like, you cannot hurt them. That they are so confident, and like their foundation of who they are is so good and pure that they're like, you don't have to worry about tipping the house over. And we're like, and then you can just joke and be free, and it's all fine and good. Because I get so scared all the time, right? What I'm allowed to say around people, and it's just such a relief.
I was really close. So inside baseball, we record two episodes at a time, and we just had another guest right before Maggie. And I was really close to texting Soren and asking, do you think I was mean to him? Because I was like genuinely worried about that. But I don't feel like I have that worry with Maggie.
Not because
I'm not mean. I am.
Yeah, well, naturally.
But because I know that you are just like so strong and so playful.
That's something I have never even thought about that about you, Dan. But you have people in your life who, like, you're such a chivalry is so important to your everyday life, and like being a gentleman and being the nicest boy is like a something you strive for. And but yet you
keeps me up at night.
You have at least one person in your life, as long as I've known you, that like you know can take it, and who you just unleash on. Like, we worked with a woman named Sarah Ricard for a long time. You were just so mean to her, but in a way that she was like very playful and like batted back with. And that's sort of how our relationship with Bacon a little bit too.
Yeah. I think a thing that what it comes down to for me is like watching episodes of The West Wing, like the first time I saw West Wing, and it's like that's full of very bright characters who are mean to each other, and there's no laugh track. I mean, there's a lot of, like, there's other things to that show also, but it's very often it's a walk and talk where someone operating at the height of their intelligence says something that is like mean and biting and true about the other character, and the other character doesn't stop them from walking and say, hey, don't talk to me like that. They just like come back with another biting remark. And I watch those shows and I think, oh yeah, me too. I want to do that. I want to like, wouldn't it be fun if I like walked around with my coworkers and said something mean and true to their face? And I've tried that with people and they don't like it, surprisingly enough. Like I there was a person that Soren and I both used to work with, and I was like really, really fueled by The West Wing, I guess, and was like, I'm gonna fucking roast her while we're walking to lunch. And she was like, apologize for that. I was like, oh yeah, okay, I guess I forgot
this
we're not
a walk and talk.
I forgot we're not on TV. Yeah. I forgot that you don't think of our conversations as like funny scenes
like a normal person would.
You feel things. I understand that,
right
now.
My first boyfriend in college, I guess, you know, our first couple dates, I thought I was flirting. And then, like, the third date, he looked at me and was like, hey, actually, sometimes you're kind of, like, hurting my feelings. And, you know, that was a learning curve for me, too. Being mean doesn't necessarily mean flirting, which, you know, I had to learn.
It's a good lesson.
So, you know.
I found that that's true of people who, like, if you're a public-facing figure, like you are, Maggie, on YouTube now, and people who try to message you or, like, they want to play. They want to play the game, whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. And when they do, like...
Sometimes they don't want to play the game. Sometimes they just want to take them fishing, Soren.
They'll do it with a little bit of malice to, like, prove, like, hey, I got it. I got the edge. And, like, they say things to you that are, like, kind of hurtful, and you're like... You're a stranger. You're a stranger saying hurtful things to me right now. I don't enjoy this.
Yeah, you know, my latest video, I did have a joke where I made fun of the wonderful candy Werthers, which I actually do enjoy, and I do not hate them, but I played a character that disliked them. And many people are just tearing into me about it on a very personal degree. And, you know, ha ha ha, it is funny, but I did feel the need to be like, okay, guys, I actually like Werther's, and I did finish the bag that I bought for the skit. So, you know, sometimes it is too personal.
Every bit of it. The wonderful candy Werther's. Which, like, first of all, like, I'm a two-time Emmy Award winner. I'm not worried about getting ruined or canceled. Werther's fucking sucks ass. What are you talking about? They haven't made a new Werther's in 25 years.
It's just the
same bucket of Werther's that we've been pulling from from some factory in fucking nowhere, Pennsylvania, probably.
Oh, Germany, I found out. It is manufactured in Germany, which many people told me. They were very angry that I implied that it was an American candy, so... Have you know, Daniel.
What a stupid thing to be angry about. Werther's, I think your family is bad. I think your company is bad. I think your product is bad. And people who like it, I think, are also bad.
The commercials for Werther's used to be a little kid reaching into like a hung sweater in his grandfather's closet and pulling out a Werther's. It's predicated on it being the candy that you don't finish.
Yeah.
Like the candy you just like have in your pocket because you're like, I don't know, maybe someday I'll be starving and I'll need this.
I felt like even in like early 90s, before I knew anything about anything, I would see a Werther's commercial with some guy in a rocking chair with like, Werther's Originals. And I'd be like, and there's something in my body that was like, that guy used to be a Nazi. He's not telling us.
That guy has memorabilia that he will never show anyone. Wolf.
Man, the show has already gotten so joyfully off the rail. I'm so happy. It's so great to have you here. I have a big quick question that I want to ask you later. But before that, a thing that I've noticed from just following you on social media and knowing you a little bit, you're a snake owner. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, Daniel, I will always talk about my baby snake, who now, oh my goodness, is basically full grown. I'll send you a picture of him. He's basically exploded into a full grown snake.
Put it into the photo album for my Halloween gift.
Circumference.
Oh, I will. So circumference wise, he's about an inch and a half, which, you know, that's pretty good girth.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty good. But yeah, he's about 3 feet in length, which you guys will not be able to beat. we had to get him a giant tank, the biggest tank I've ever seen, for him to live in. And yeah, he's about 2 years into his 20-year lifespan. So far, so great.
Does he ever... I know you
wink at me.
You've boasted about this tank, which is the biggest you've ever seen. Somehow. But does he ever
snake?
Does he ever roam free in the home?
One of his favorite things to do, and by that I mean I am anapomorphizing. Anthropomorphizing. You can say it for me, Soren, if you wanna. Well,
fucking
that thing.
Jocks.
Classic dumb jock.
Can't say a very long, complicated word. I carry him around in my hoodie sweater. I'll put the hoodie on backwards, and then I'll put him right there in my little hood, and I'll carry him around like a little baby. And he loves it.
Yeah. So how do you know when a snake likes something?
He's still. You know, I found that when he moves. He's bothered, and if he's sitting still, then he's fine, dandy, and in his own little dream world. So, from what I can tell.
Did you grow up with snakes or other reptiles, anything like that?
I didn't, but my coolest cousin, I'm the youngest of a lot of cousins, but one of my coolest cousins had a python and an iguana. Which escaped regularly and actually escaped into my high school because it snuck into her backpack and then escaped. And she was called to the principal's office, which was very embarrassing for the whole fish clan. but yeah, she was my coolest cousin. So I think growing up, you know, I had exposure to... you know, cool people with cool reptiles.
Not since Albert Fish have I been so embarrassed.
Yeah, the fish name was so great before then.
I mean, we had a gold record right before that. So, man.
What a heist, though. That it got into a backpack and then, like, got loose.
Yeah, got loose into the girls' locker room.
I knew it. I was gonna guess.
Yeah. Very classic.
Smart too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who knows what good biddies it saw that day? As a snake.
Okay, I have a question about your snake as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. Go at it, Soren.
Have you considered raising clutches?
Oh, what's that?
That's where I watch these.
It's where women
on YouTube
put their phone, right?
I watch these videos
it
now
is.
About snake clutch hatchings, where like people get two snakes to breed, and then they get the clutch, and then like at a certain point you get to open these leathery eggs, and like they get so excited by the new patterns, because like patterns are super important, I guess, to some snake owners, and. You open it up and you're like, oh, albino, or you're like, oh, quicksilver, or whatever their weird names are for like the different patterns. And
oh, liquid mercury.
Yeah, they're so pumped in the video. Like, no matter what it is, they're never like, oh, another one of these. They're always, every single time, they're like, it's the best thing that could have happened. And that's maybe why I like them so much.
Wow, that's fascinating. No, I never want to breed snakes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do watch this 16-year-old YouTuber who owns a reptile company where he'll resell reptiles. And he's a delight. You know, it's fun to see a 16-year-old having a full functioning business in this day and age.
Start
and,
to finish. Perfect sequence of words.
Oh, but no, I'm just not interested in watching them do their dirty deed.
I'm not sure you have to watch.
But, you know, I'd be, you know, I'm sure they're curious. I watch my snake eat, which is, you know, kind of the same thing.
I guess so. Are you feeding him frozen stuff or is it live?
It's frozen. Yeah. So, yeah, just kind of like your regular, you know, I order from an online company. It comes in a little, help me out, science bro, Soren. What do you call it?
Box.
When it's really cold. Yes, a box, but it's not regular ice.
Dry ice.
I didn't need your help. I found it out myself. It just comes in a dry ice box, and then, you know, when it comes time to feed, you thaw it out, and then you jiggle it, and then he gulps it down in one gulp.
Oh, out of your hand?
I use tongs, but, you know, they're not long tongs. They're regular sized tongs. So
I guess I wonder, because we had like furry creatures growing up. We had hamsters and gerbils, and I had a guinea pig for a while. We always had dogs. We briefly, my brothers and I each got, I always get this wrong. I call them anoles. They might be called annals.
Soren, science bro. What is that?
I always knew them as anoles, but they might be.
Anali,
yeah. They might be anoli. You might be completely right. Yeah. But they're like they'd only turn brown or green.
Yeah.
And like they're brown if they're unhappy or cold, and they're green if everything's chill.
Right. It always felt like chameleons appeal to young children because they change colors and their eyes are crazy, and that's very exciting. And they're exotic. But like anolis, you could get at a fucking gas station in New Jersey. So that's what you get. And it's like, I know chameleons can turn whatever color they want. These guys turn two. That's what we can afford. You can afford green, brown, or angry. Those are the colors. So we had those, but those were not my favorite pets to have. I always leaned furry companion. And I guess I wonder what drew you to having a snake apart from fascinating me.
Right back at you, Dennis. What draws you to fish? You know, what about those slippery little slimy little creatures? Novelty. I think that's probably why I picked the snake. Really, I picked it because of necessity. When I bought it, I was living with someone who had two cats, and a dog. So, checking out the boxes of acceptable pets led me down to snake, but I really enjoy all creatures, and I kind of like how weird it is. But But yeah, oh no, but really, Dana, what about fish do you like? I'm curious.
I like fishing. I like the act of fishing. It's incredibly repetitive, which is very therapeutic for me, and mm-hmm. it's very peaceful. One could have their phone on if they wanted to.
Right.
I don't. Like, once you're at sea, you can... I go on airplane mode and then just sit out there on the water, and it's very peaceful and calming. I'm not listening to music. I'm not checking my email. All I'm doing is whatever the...
Ruining a fish's fucking day.
Yeah, all I'm doing is... It's not fair to say murdering a fish because I don't keep them all, but it is fair to say torturing
my
a fish.
People. Yeah. You'll be seeing from my fish lawyer.
It's fine. I'll stand up to any maritime court in the sea.
Right. King Triton's gonna have a fucking field day with you. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, for the same reason, I actually I really enjoy watching the snake do his thing. He's so slow and unbothered and unfeeling, and you know, in an almost relaxing way. Yeah, just like such a you know, a foreign alien creature with no with no feeling.
Yeah.
So. Dan, you're right. It's a Noli.
Is it?
Yeah, you're correct.
Neat.
I had them, and speaking of, I know you don't want to watch your snake get down, but I had two Anolis when I was a child as well, and I eventually had to get a third because I ended up having a male and a female, and the male was killing the female by having sex with her so much. She was permanently brown and like just like unhappy, and I had to get another female for this insatiable lizard.
Wow, that's like a 90s sitcom just living in a little terrarium for you.
It was so uncomfortable. And I'd like, dang. Go pack over there to feed them crickets, or like they're really into flies, but like, yeah, you have to keep, if you're keeping lizards as pets, you're also keeping crickets as pets. And that's fucking disgusting. They're like, they smell bad, they're gross, and they're so weird. And like, just trying to get one out of that little box that you keep them in. Six or more get out, and like you throw him in there, and every single time I'm just like, God damn it. And what he would do is he'd bite the back of her neck so she couldn't go anywhere, and then wrap himself around her. And it was, for a child, it was just brutal. Like, there's nothing I could do.
Well, the wonders of nature.
What did you name him? That's the wrong question, right?
Zip, no. Zap, and Zoom.
Aww.
It was just Zip and Zap, and then yeah, Zoom got added into the equation. Purely as a concubine. It was humiliating.
That's so funny. Wow.
Thank you to Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of Quick Question with Soren and Dan. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. Explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity. Speaking of creativity, we talk a little bit about it in this podcast, and if you just skip ahead to the commercials, because this is your favorite part, you're going to be a little lost here, that when you want to start something new, you have to give up other things in your life. Well, it goes the other way too. When you give up a bunch of stuff in your life, you need to fill that with new things. And right now we're all sitting at home with quarantine where you've given up an awful lot and you're wondering how to use that time. Well, now you have your answer. It's Skillshare. At a time when so many important conversations are happening in our world, your voice is more essential than ever. Explore classes to unlock your creativity for social good. Because Skillshare offers creative classes designed for real life and all the circumstances that come with it. These lessons can help you stay inspired and express yourself and introduce you to a community of millions who are like-minded like you. Like, they're trying to learn this stuff too. You can be humble about this. You're starting from scratch. That's fine. One of the classes that I've taken recently and had to go back to was home decor and just how to design the inside of your house so that it looks functional and useful. It's actually a really hard thing to know how to do, and to have somebody kind of hold your hand through it and tell you about color schemes and that there's such a thing as art deco or that there's mid-century modern. Like, these are not terms that I had in my vocabulary until Skillshare. But that's not the only one. There's tons of classes out there, no matter what you're interested in. You can do photography, you can do drawing, you can do close-up magic, like Daniel. Maybe it's a nice talking point for the two of you. Maybe you could slide into his DMs and say, do you ever want to come out to my neighborhood and do some close-up magic with me?
Yeah.
For a limited time, Get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership at skillshare.com/QQ2. Receive free access to thousands of classes for a limited time. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ2, and get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership.
Maggie, I have a quick question for you, unless you want to keep talking about snakes.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
I wanted to know if there are pieces of pop culture that you were perhaps taking too seriously. And I can give an example while you think, and while Soren thinks, if that's helpful. I got, I was really into the book series Animorphs by K.A. Applegate, and like, would share books with my friends, which is a normal and good way to engage with a piece of pop culture, but I liked it so much that I thought there was a version of reality where I could be an Animorph, and I took it very seriously. I thought, and like, this is later than it should be. This is middle school, and I'm thinking, I like these books so much that I will also one day become one of these people who can...
You will one day morph.
So for anyone who hasn't read Animorphs, it's about a group of teens who meet an alien who give them the power to morph into whatever animal they touch, and they can stay in that animal's form for 2 hours, and if they don't get out of that form, then they're stuck as that animal forever. And that idea was very appealing to me when I was a kid. It was like, I can be any animal. And then I got into a place where I was like, I wanna be an Animorph, and I also want to date one of the characters in the book. Like, this is what my brain was taking several leapfrog jumps over reality. So I was like, okay, so the first thing I do is meet an alien and get this power. Second thing I do, I meet a fictional character in this book, and then I can date her. And when I say I took it too seriously, I got in a physical fight with a person in middle school who made a joke about how I couldn't date the fictional character. Like, I used my hands and fought him.
Ooh, wow.
We were just, like, talking about this book, and then he said, you can't date Cassie. She doesn't like you. She likes Jake. And I'm like, take it back!
She hasn't met me yet. She doesn't know.
He's like, I refuse to take it back. They're both fictional. This is absurd. And I was like, too late, we're fighting now.
Wow. He really wanted to pull you down from your cloud, huh?
I know.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's been pretty reasonable about it, though.
No, yeah, he wanted to pull me down from my cloud into reality.
Uh-huh.
He was like, hey, I think this is going to snowball into you being so obsessed with pop culture that you have fights with your friends because you think you're being on the West Wing. And I'm just trying to nip it in the bud if I can.
What animal were you drawn to, Daniel, you know, per your cover when you became part of the Animorphs
world? So the most romantic is always going to be Tobias. He's the one who turns into the hawk and then has to stay that way forever because he just gets trapped there. And that's if you're a person like I was, who is like, you know, occasionally weird and lonely, you think like, that's the path for me. The path is I'm going to turn into a bird forever and get stuck in bird form, who can talk to my friends using telepathy, which is another thing that Animorphs can do that I should have set up at the beginning for context. But yeah, I was like, I think my fate is to be the bird who is in love with a human being, and they can never be together.
Because poetic.
Like, isn't sadness romantic? Thank God they didn't give like senior quotes to 13-year-olds, because mine would have been, isn't sadness romantic? Isn't sadness romantic, period? Like, I wouldn't do a question mark. Like, I'd be...
Don't debate me. Yeah. Don't correct me on this. This is the truth for me. Oh, wow. For me, the thing that I got too into, and this is probably a tale as old as time, in fourth grade, this was also a low point, in my,
I didn't say low point for mine.
Oh, I didn't mean to imply, but, you know, draw your own conclusions, audience. During my low point in fourth grade, I decided that I didn't really like my personality, so I was going to be Hermione Granger from Harry Potter. You know, she was smart. I was smart. She had, you know, two best friends that she did, you know?
And the most anyone's ever had.
Yeah, which at the time seemed unobtainable.
My goodness, spoiled for choice.
Yeah, so I very decidedly made that switch. And honest to God, for about 2 weeks, I really committed. I raised my hand all of the time for everything. Anything the teacher asked, my hand was up in the air. And I was a smart child, so I didn't know the answer. You know, I had to pretend about that. But I realized after 2 weeks that I was exhausted, because actually Hermione Granger is kind of like a big bitch, and her lording over everyone's time and attention actually was detracting from everyone's school experience, and was not winning me any friends.
I quite famously have not read or seen any of the Harry Potter films. Does she suck in the books or movies? Is she like a know-it-all pain in the ass, or is that something that the internet has subsequently ascribed to her?
I would say she's definitely more palatable in the film, and that has a lot to do, I'm sure, with you know, the film was written afterwards, and you know, Emma Watson.
And J.K. Rowling has only gotten smarter and more nuanced.
Yeah. She's pretty terrible in the books, and only as an adult have I realized how like misogynist she was written. You know, with just Harry and Ron both talking over her throughout the entire book series, and also just like, you know, disregarding her at every turn. So, you know, way to go, J.K. Rowling. You somehow wrote misogyny into your books while claiming to be such a great feminist. She's actually pretty terrible, and even more blanketly so in the books, I would say, especially upon a reread. Yeah. She's pretty annoying.
It's very thoughtful of you to know within a few weeks of trying on being Hermione that I was like, oh no, this is exhausting. Like, I don't.
Yeah, yeah. I did it years later in eighth grade. In eighth grade, I came to a point when I was like, you know what? My cousin, who is in high school, everyone loves her and she's very popular. If I just kind of act like my cousin, I bet I'll become popular. And I did it for about 2 weeks. And lo and behold, it basically worked. I would laugh at everyone's jokes. I'd always be like, Kristen, you're so funny. Even though I didn't believe it. And it worked. But again, after 2 weeks, I was like, damn, it's kind of sad that that's what I changed about myself. And it worked. And it's not me. So I guess I gotta go back to being the me that not as many people liked.
Go back to no one. No one liked. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay, we'll stick to that.
Because that rings really true for me. Did you try on different personalities? Because I eventually realized that I'm like a weird person, and there's no way out of it, and that's just who I'm gonna be. But for a while, I did certainly think like, you know what? I woke up this morning and I decided. I'm confident today. I'm casual guy today. Like I would like try on a different thing that I was like, this is me now. And then it would, you know, wear off in a couple of days. Did you do that too? Was that like a recurring?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Segment in the Maggie Mayfish show.
It's a definite segment. In a way, I was always kind of like, okay, Maggie, you know, this is your young years. This is your time to like, you figure out who you are. So, you know, just try things on like a jacket.
Who is the speaker here? Old Maggie?
Old Maggie and tiny Maggie
sucking
body.
Sucking on her Werther's.
Yeah, you know, I feel like feeling just like not a part of like the crowd gives you such freedom to be like, well, if no one's paying attention to me anyways, I guess I can kind of just try things out a little bit and see what sticks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sports Maggie now.
Yeah.
I know yesterday I was a different Maggie, but forget that.
Now I'm a jerk. And, yeah. I'm curious, Soren, that doesn't strike me as a thing that you would have done. This, I feel like you figured yourself out early, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I think all young kids are like, well, maybe I'm Pugsley from Adam's Family. That might be fun.
Whoa!
But I never really like committed to any of it. It was always like it was always just gonna be an addition to the house as opposed to a complete remodel. Like
interesting.
I would.
You didn't hate yourself that much, where you were like, okay, throw the whole thing out. Let's just redo everything and see.
It was. What else can I add? Like what? Mm. Oh, I could ride a unicycle. That might be kind of a cool thing that I could do. And so it was never really about reinventing it or like trying to model it on somebody else as much as it was about what's the best way that I can make people like me in the first 15 minutes of knowing me.
That's probably really effective. That's probably way more effective than incrementally changing your entire personality.
No, it's super effective. He's my best friend in the world.
I speaking of though, stories that you took or pop culture that you took too seriously. I don't know if I've told this on the podcast before. Did you guys know I used to fight crime?
I mean, I did.
Wow.
When I was in middle school, yeah, first comic book series I ever read was called Nightfall, and it was the story of Bane breaking Batman's back and then this other guy, Azrael, taking over as Batman. Mm. And my friend Brian Lee and Cameron Baisley and I loved this series and decided that the town of Carbondale, a population of 7,000, needed crime fighters. And we didn't like...
Hey, Soren, just for some context.
Yeah.
What's Azrael look like?
Okay, so Azrael, before he dons the Batman outfit, Azrael has what look like maybe some metal feathers coming off of his back. Mm-hmm. He wears a mask. He's kind of like got a Crusades Knight feel to him, but in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I can describe it.
But like under the mask, what would you say?
Oh, yeah, he's a blonde guy. He's just a regular, just a cool blonde guy. And so we were like, we gotta fight crime. And we weren't like, well, we need our origin stories. We need to like build these characters out. We were like, fucking Batman's already there. And so Brian Lee was Batman, Cameron Baisley was Robin, and I was Azrael. And we would sneak out. Well, first of all, we made our costumes. We would sneak out at night.
How much underwear was involved in the costumes?
There's some long underwear in my costume.
All right.
Like tidy whities on the outside. We looked legit. We were...
needed, but...
There
okay.
was some sewing involved. And I wore bullet shells, like rifle bullet shells, in a clip that went around my shoulder because... Whoa. I mean, around my arm, my upper arm, because that was a big thing in comics at that stage were like pockets on the pants and big like pockets across every part of your body and like just like things wrapping around your limbs. And so this bullet casings felt very lended me some credibility. And then we would spend the night at somebody's house,
right? Because otherwise you need the credibility, because if some criminal saw you just a child in hand-sewn long underwear, they'd be like, I don't really take you seriously. And then you're like, no, look at these bullet casings. And we're like, oh shit, that's the real Azrael.
My mask was made out of pantyhose.
Oh,
and then I had to get two actually and cut them identically because I needed two layers because you could see my face too easily through the first layer. Mm-hmm. And like my mashed up nose and lips.
How do you is that conversation mom talking to Soren, have you seen my pantyhose? Or is that conversation Soren talking to mom, can I have some money to buy some pantyhose for a nighttime thing I'm doing?
I I don't recall asking for money, but that makes me sound like maybe I was just a rich kid.
I don't recall asking for money. But,
as a matter of fact, it's never happened.
I do remember being at Ben Franklin, which was like the local store, and buying pantyhose for my face. We would sneak out at night. Like, we put on our costumes and sneak out a window, and like, we were ready to fuck somebody up. So we had a big plan. There was a guy in my town at the time who apparently had been inside the women's restroom at the park. And Whoa. A woman had gone in there. There was a guy in there. She freaked out and left, and then it made headlines.
This is classic newspaper. Maggie's snake.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Witness to
ride it. Yeah, this is escaped iguana in the ladies' room. And so we were like, we're going to catch this guy. And so, if you can imagine then, three kids dressed with masks on, staking out the women's restroom in the middle of the night in the park, trying to catch this joker. And never did, but there was one time when we were out on a mission, and there was a woman riding her bike who fell off of it and really, I think, hurt herself. And we all went running to her aid, and I think sort of surprised her. Because she had no context for what was going on. And so, yeah, I remember it being as, like, deep in the night, you know, when it's darkest just before the dawn. But I think it was actually probably, yeah, I think it was probably like 9:30. She was, like, just coming back from dinner or something. Yeah. And, yeah, we shocked her. And we didn't last too long in that. I can't remember why we disbanded, but I think it might have been that we didn't catch any criminals and lost interest.
Soren, here's my question. What did your parents think you were doing?
They thought we were doing dress up, I think. I should check in with my mom again, because she took some pictures of us, some very Aww. Serious pictures of us out on my deck.
Ooh.
After we'd had like a training session on the trampoline, and we were all like, we were feeling it. And so we asked her to take a picture of us out on the deck. And she, I don't know what their feeling was on it, other than it was just a boy playing cosplay, maybe, without having that terminology in her head yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of them knew we were going out at night.
Whoa. They didn't know what your intention was to stop crime. They didn't know that.
Right. You had a very serious job to do.
Right. Mm. I don't think they did. I think if we told them, they would say that was too dangerous, which I think every crime fighter must go through with their parents, except of course Batman. And, wow. And Spider-Man too. And well, you know what? Actually a lot of them.
In middle school, there I did have I had a best friend named John, and at one point I found out that I was very good at pratfalls, which you know, as a kid you want to capitalize on all the skills that you can market to find more friends.
Yes, every kid wants to be Buster Keaton.
Yes, naturally. So we started the John's Pain and Death Academy, where we would teach children, you know, just how to like fall and make it, you know, look like, yeah, you had really been hurt. And luckily, no one was ever hurt seriously. That's basically the end of the story.
Oh, Maggie, what?
Yes.
What are you?
Yeah, just a bunch of Harold Lloyd fans trying to teach kids the next generation of pratfalls.
What? So, if I'd never met you before, and saw a transcript of this conversation, I would spot age guess you at she was born in 1923. Back when kids were allowed to be hairy. And pratfalls were a skill that made people like you.
I want to live in a world where a young hairy girl can start a pain and death academy on the playground and just have swarms of people running up to her asking to be her best friend. And that's the future I fight for.
Amazing.
So.
You are... no question, my favorite person to talk to in the world. I do think we need to probably come to the end of this show, unless Soren has any other questions or you have anything that you wanted to discuss. Fuck you.
Yeah, Maggie, you got anything
jock
else?
Bully.
Jock bully. You know, Daniel's been fishing. Soren, what have you been doing, you know, besides being a wonderful father to your wonderful children?
Well, not growing vegetables, I can tell you that much.
Daniel's been fishing. I won an Emmy last week.
No, you've only been fishing.
I reclaim my time, Daniel.
Right.
Ooh.
I've been building stuff. I built a bench, Maggie. And,
wow!
Yeah, no big deal. And,
that's so cool, Soren! That's way cooler than whatever Daniel's been up to in the past couple weeks. It's freaking awesome.
I built a garden box. And,
whoa.
Rebuilt, my bed was getting really squeaky, so like I rebuilt the bottom of my bed.
Whoa!
You know, like, and some painting, you know, some staining. Do you know staining? Yeah, do a lot
of that. That's really cool. That's really cool.
Maggie, I know you don't listen to the show. Do you know that Soren had a second baby?
I do. Okay. I do know, yes. I did say babies. Let the record show. I'm sure I might have said babies plural.
Yeah. It's you said I was just being a wonderful father, which should not be plural. That's perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
She's great. She's an adorable little baby who smiles very easy, which is, you don't feel like you earned it, but it's actually really just sort of nice every single time. And has taken to sleeping with a blanket over her face, which is terrifying. We have these little things called loveys, which are like a 12-inch by 12-inch square that has a head on one side of like a fox or a raccoon, and we keep that in her crib with her, and she will find it no matter where it is and drag it over her face and leave it there.
Whoa, that's gonna be a kid that's gonna have a goth phase, which is healthy and normal and just great.
It's fine. She looks just like me. It's crazy.
Aww.
My son looks like my wife, and my daughter looks like me.
I look like my dad, and my brother looks like my mom.
There you go.
You know, there you go. Daniel looks like no one.
You don't.
You look like an eagle, animal eagle.
I don't know if you know how hurtful the end of this podcast has been. Because
we're friends, though, right? But we're having a camera follow us,
you're so engaged with Soren stuff, and legitimately excited for him, and then you said I look like no one as an afterthought. You're in California, I'm in New York. It's almost 9:30. This is going to be the last thing I do tonight is Maggie negging me relentlessly.
More like Megging. That soccer star is great.
But I'm being... I mean, I was a jock for like a hot second in high school, so... You know, I can,
this sucks so bad.
Daniel, like, do something to impress me.
No!
I can congratulate you, but until then...
I won two Emmys! I tried so hard to impress you already, and it didn't work. And now I'm... sliding into some fisherwoman's DMs like a fucking creep.
She might respond to you. You don't know
that
she
won't.
You never know. You never know.
Alright, well, I have to track down the social accounts. Maggie, a thing you don't know about the show is that it takes a very long time for us to track down our social accounts to promote the show and everything like that.
That's great.
And it usually requires, like, physical travel and distance away from the microphone. So we ask our guests to fill that time while we're traveling.
Great.
So while I go get those...
You're going to be gone?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to be gone.
Great.
And I'm going to get those accounts. But in the meantime, I wanted you to have an opportunity to have a conversation with Soren where you're both using your Australian accents. So go ahead.
G'day, mate.
What part of Australia are you from?
I'm from the Melbourne, haven't you? Yeah.
Crikey, I'm from Perth.
Perth?
Yeah, Perth. I think they're on opposite sides of the continent and country. It's weird that we're a continent and a country, isn't it?
It's all I can talk about, because it's always on my mind, being an Australian person.
Oh, crikey, I just got bit by a spider. of some sort.
Is it? Well, if it's big, you're gonna have to suck that out of your wound. How big is it?
Yeah. It's a big one. Yeah. I think it ate a bird before it got to me.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's bad. This is bad.
This,
do you have any Australian
this
listeners?
This could not have gone dead on. Better.
Yeah, we do. We've got, like, we're big in Queensland.
Dang.
Yeah, Maggie, sorry, I still can't find these accounts. Talk about Queensland, Australia. Say something special to our Queensland listeners.
Hey, all you Queensland Australians, you know, just thank you guys for, you know, for listening to these two crikes. You know, and they're jib jabbering on their little little podcast. I'm sure they enjoy it very much. You turn in. Whoa.
You can find Maggie at Maggie May Fish on Twitter. That's Maggie spelled the way you assume. M-A-E mm-hmm. Fish spelled like the thing. Mm-hmm. You can find Soren at Soren_LTD. You can find our CFO, Michael, last name not included, at Make Me Bacon Please, PLS. You can find and hire our engineer, producer, editor, very nice man, Gabe, at GabeHarder.com. We have a Patreon that you could find if you do just the base amount of Googling that a person could do if this is the kind of thing they wanted. Other than that, I don't have much more to say. Maggie, that was excellent.
Had some real Australian in there, it felt like.
Did I? Oh,
you slipped
you.
In and out of some really good Australian. As they would say, that was fair dinkum.
I think one of the things that I love about Maggie's Australian accent is that almost everything she said started with, ow!
Yeah, I feel like you need that running ramp to really finish it off. So,
is there anything that you would like to plug that we did not plug?
No, that's about all of the things you can find. You guys, you can also find me on YouTube, all you Queensland loyals, with my same name. No, that's it. Thank you very much for having me. That was pretty good.
That was pretty solid.
Oh my God, this was so much fun.
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. Thanks for coming on the show. What a treat this was.
This was so fun, you guys. Oh, man. What a delight.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.